Good morning, Minister Willa. This is Annette from Jacksonville, Florida.
Good morning, Annette. Well, God bless you, another warm weather sister. And we're going to go before the Lord in prayer. Father God, we come to you this morning. We rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. For you are good. You are God. You are our Savior. You are our Comforter. You are our strength. You are our ever-present help in time of trouble. Father, we thank and praise you as we rejoice in the Lord for the TMC call, for this being able to get together as family as we begin our day. Father, we rejoice in the Lord for Dr. Vanessa and Dr. P.K. Roberts as they listen to your voice and for the good things that you are doing in their lives, O Lord. Father, we pray that Dr. Vanessa and Dr. P.K. Roberts, Lord, that you continue to bless them, Lord, that you fill every need as they go about their day, Father, that you be with Dr. P.K. as she is with her sister-in-law. Lord, that you enable her to be everything she needs to be to her right now. Father, as you be with Dr. Vanessa, she continues to take care of Mama Josie, O Lord. That, Father God, that you would just strengthen her, Lord, and that you just continue to give her the joy of the Lord, because we know that is her strength. Father, we rejoice in the Lord over Artists International, because Artists International has changed so many families, so many lives, Lord. Father, we thank and praise you for the Diaz de Leon family, Lord, and that you continue to bless them mightily. Father, we thank and praise you, and we rejoice as we begin to hear the word of God. Father, be with Pastor Chuck. We thank you for restoring his health. We rejoice, O Lord, in the good things you have done in his life. Father, now we ask that you just touch him in a mighty way in Jesus' name. Father, that you be with his entire family, Lord, and that the word that he is bringing forth this morning is transforming, and we know it will be. Father, we rejoice in the call of all of our family members who have called this morning. Father, we rejoice in our prayer partners and our prayer intercessors, Lord. And Father, that we rejoice as others are saying yes to being a part of the TMC prayer warriors and those who want to minister. Father, now we just bind Satan in Jesus' name. We rejoice that you have given us that authority to put him under our feet, Lord, and that this call would go forth with clarity, that we will hear every word, that we will take a hold of every word that is given this morning, Lord, and be a blessing to somebody else. We rejoice in the Lord, and again, I say rejoice in Jesus' name. Amen. I will now turn the call over to our host. Please remember our dear sister, Gwen Beatty, during this Christmas season. If you want to be a blessing to TMC family, you can certainly be a blessing by going to www.philipbottlesavealife.com. I love you, my family, and now I give you to our host, Tiffany. Are you there, my sister?
I am. Thank you. Thank you, my sister Willa. Thank you so much for seating us and greeting us this morning. Welcome, 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 everyone, to the TMC call, the Master's Call, where it is truly all about the Master. And here on the Master's Call, we stand on the scripture, Psalms 88:13, which reads, "But to thee I have cried out, O Lord, and in the morning my prayer comes before you." So we've already started this call this morning with prayer. We've already started in fellowship. We already are in unity and on one accord, and we are getting ready to give God our all in all this morning, for truly great things are on the way for us. So we praise God for each of you. I thank God for the founders of this call, Dr. P.K. Roberts and Dr. Vanessa Weatherspoon. And I always say I thank God for their yes, because I know that they did not have to do this. They did not have to make the commitment for us to be here every day, Monday through Friday, each and every single week for going into 3 years. But I thank God for them. I thank God for their faithfulness and their surrender and their commitment to this, the Master's Call. I thank God for each of you who have dialed in. Go ahead right now and text somebody. Put it on Facebook that they need to get on the Master's Call right now. And if you've missed any of these messages you're visiting for the first time, then I invite you to visit our website, which is www.themastersmorningcall.wordpress.com. www.themastersmorningcall.wordpress.com. And some of you out there this morning may have a prayer request. You need someone to stand in agreement with you for what you are praying and have been praying for God for. You have not been able to get that prayer through on your own, and maybe there's someone else that you need to lift up this morning. Then I ask that you would send us your prayer request. Send that to themastersmorningcall@gmail.com. The Master's Morning Call dot gmail.com, and we will definitely be more than glad, the TMC intercessors will be more than glad to stand in agreement with you for what you are praying for. So I praise God this morning because truly he is great and he's worthy to be praised. And as we say, we give all the praise and honor and glory to God, for he is truly the head of our life here on the TMC call. If you are a member of Otis International, I say you better check your back office because there are great things happening in Otis International. So check your back office, and if you're not a member of Otis International, then check. Ask the person who invited you to this call what's going on in Otis International in the month of December on this day, 12-12-12. Great things are happening in Otis International. So now, if you have not already done so, I say pull out your Bible, get your pencil, get your paper, get your iPad, whatever you need, because right now I am getting ready to bring to the floor someone who is definitely appointed and anointed for this hour. He's just an appointed vessel of God. He is mighty, mighty, mighty prophetic, mighty practical, and I'm telling you, he is doing great things to build the kingdom of God. He comes from Louisiana. He is a pastor. He is a father. He is a friend. I'm telling you, he's doing great things. He's an author. Author of the book Death of the Desperate Woman, and I know that there's another book coming up, but you'll have to find out what that title is later. But at this time, it is an honor for me to bring to you this morning my brother, none other than Pastor Chuck Brown at this time. Pastor Chuck, are you out there?
Amen. Praise God. Tiffany, how are you doing? Can you hear me?
I am awesome. I hear you loud and clear. Go ahead, my brother.
Praise God. I thank God for all who are part of this call, both founders, the PK, Pastor Vanessa, and all of my brothers and sisters who make this call a special one, and to all of the people of God who are here on the line this morning. I want to get right into the Word of God. On last week, I began a series that the Lord led me to share with you entitled Living Life Without Options. Living Life Without Options. I need you to understand that living the God kind of life is not optional for me. So this series focuses on the fact that as long as any options remain on the table of your life, you are bound to use it at some point. And that's why you have to remove anything that is not of God off the table. Being broke is not an option. Being discouraged is not an option. Being depressed is not an option. Anger and frustration are not options. Pain and discomfort are not options. Chaos and confusion are not options. We talked about last week how you have to remove all of these things as options. In the same vein, I want you to declare today that stopping is not an option. That's what I want to minister this morning. Stopping is not an option. I cannot stop until I experience God's best. I will not stop until I see the manifestation of my promise. The enemy wants you to believe that things that have happened to you in the past have a stronghold over you. And the only way that is true is if you allow it to happen. And I'll share more on that in a moment. God wants his people to live in liberty and freedom. Whom the Son has set free is free indeed. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. I refuse to allow the devil to place a leash over my life, limiting my move and stopping my elevation and limiting my ability to enjoy life. And the principles that I want to share are only for those who would declare that stopping is indeed not an option. There may be moments when I'm in neutral, but I won't come to a complete stop. There may be events that even put your plans on pause, but I won't let it cause me to come to a complete stop. 2 Samuel chapter 9, verse 1, and 2 Samuel 9 and 1, the scripture says, and David said, is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? Is there anybody left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? The first principle I want to give you is this. Simply, don't die before you experience God's favor. Don't die before you experience God's favor. Our text finds David in a new position. He was called by God at a young age to be king of Israel, although Saul was on the throne at that time. Whenever the king was overthrown, the rebels would not only kill the king, but anyone connected to the king. This was done so that none of the rightful heirs, the sons or grandsons, could ever claim a right to the throne. So David is elevated to king. Instead of acting like most folk, all high and mighty, he looks for someone to bless. Listen, when God elevates you, don't forget to bless somebody else. David is looking for someone from the house of Saul, from the lineage of Saul, to pay homage to. And he asks the question, is anyone in Saul's family still alive? Anyone to whom I can show kindness for Jonathan's sake? Is anybody still alive? I'm looking for someone who is alive that I can show my favor to. David is saying that God has told me to bless whatever family member of Saul who is still alive. God wants to pour out his favor into your life. He wants to use someone to bless you. But if you die now, you don't get the favor. If you quit now, you don't get the favor. If you give up now, you cannot receive his favor. If you throw in the towel, you won't receive the favor of God. And that's why Galatians 6 and 9 says for us to not be weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap if you faint not. I can't die because I haven't seen all that God has in store for me. I can't die because I know God has some more stuff for me. Get this in your spirit. Refuse to write your eulogy. Don't write your eulogy just yet. God still has something great in store for you. Stop planning your funeral. God ain't through with you yet. Stop resigning yourself for a plan B. Remember, last week I shared with you that you can't fully follow God if you have a plan B, because if you have another plan outside of God's plan, that means that you fully don't trust God's plan, when the only plan that will bring you to where you need to be is God's plan. Don't die before you see God's favor work for you. You've been praying all this time. You've been tithing and giving and forgiving folk and helping others and serving. Don't die because God wants you to experience heaven on earth and not just wait to get to heaven to receive his best. Well, I want to back up in 2 Samuel 4 and 4. 2 Samuel 4 and 4 reads, Saul's son Jonathan had a son named Mephibosheth, who was crippled as a child. This is the New Living Translation. He was 5 years old when the report came from Jezreel that Saul and Jonathan had been killed in battle. When the child's nurse heard the news, she picked him up and fled. But as she hurried away, she dropped him and became crippled. That's 2 Samuel 4 and 4. Here's principle number two. Being dropped is not a reason to stop. Being dropped is not a reason to stop. While the coup was taking place, the nurse of King Saul's grandson picked him up to flee, but she accidentally dropped the boy Mephibosheth. And that's interesting. The person who was supposed to provide nourishment for him drops him. The lady who was supposed to be helping him was the one who dropped him. Don't you know that the only people who can drop you are those who are closest to you? Strangers can't get close enough to you to really hurt you. Does anyone ever know? Do you know what it feels like to be dropped by a father who wasn't there, dropped by a lover who snatched your heart out of your soul and stomped on it, dropped by a teacher who said you were too dumb, dropped by a parent who called you too stupid? People who have been dropped usually stay down. They stay stuck. They stay immobile. They can't go anywhere because they've been dropped. Can't move forward because they've been dropped. The molester dropped them. The bankruptcy dropped them. The preacher dropped them. Their sister, brother dropped them. The system dropped them. Here's the thing. Just because you've been dropped does not mean that you should stop. You can move past your past if you want to. I'm going to say that again. You can move past your past if you want to. You will never heal from a drop if you refuse to rehabilitate. There are people who have been through worse drops than you've ever experienced and moved on to greatness. So even if you've been dropped, don't stay down. Here's the other thing. The person who dropped Mephibosheth didn't do it on purpose. There are people who dropped you but didn't know the impact it would have on you. The truth is, as a parent, we were not given manuals on parenting, so we may have dropped you from time to time. The damage is done, but the drop wasn't malicious. There are people who meant to hurt you, and then on the other end of the spectrum, there are those whose immaturity was responsible for your drop. Nevertheless, just because you've been dropped doesn't mean you should stop, because stopping is not an option. Moving on, 2 Samuel chapter 9, verse 4. I'm sorry that I'm moving so fast, but you could just make a note of the scripture. 2 Samuel 9 and 4. And the king said unto him, "Where is he?" And Ziba said unto the king, "Behold, he is in the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, in Lodabar." Here's number three. Never unpack in a place that is not your destiny. Oh, never unpack in a place that isn't your destiny. Mephibosheth was in Lodabar. He got dropped and moved to Lodabar. Lodabar was the land of dropped folk. Everyone who's been dropped lives there. Everyone who's been hurt lives there. Everyone who's been done wrong lives there. that lives there. Those folk who taken advantage of live in Lodabar. The ostracized and the bullied live in Lodabar. But the problem with Lodabar is this. Even if you have to pass through there, that definitely ain't the place you want to live in. The devil always wants you to get comfortable at a rest stop. Stop at that job just because you've been there forever. God has something greater for you. It may seem like you have to start all over again, but starting over is way better than living in Lodabar. Why are you unpacking in a place you know you're not designed to grow in? Why are you getting comfortable living in a place where no one can help you because they need help themselves? Why are you making yourself at home in a land that doesn't want you? If the place that I'm in does not look like the place of promise, then I know I won't be there long. Some of y'all need to go to work to say to yourself, I won't be in Lodabar too much longer. You need to go home to see your house or your apartment, I won't be here much longer. Lodabar is an unfulfilling place. Lodabar. Lodabar. The bar is too low. You're not challenged, and if you're not challenged, you can't grow. Muscles only grow enough to resistant. Your faith only grows when you can leave God past where you are. I can't live in Lodabar because that's where stop. I can't live in Lodabar because that's where hurt people stop. I can't live in Lodabar because that's where sick people stop and average folks stop and depressed people live there and angry folks stop, and stopping is not an option. Oh, God. Here is my last principle. Found in 2 Samuel, chapter verses 7 through 8, and I'm going to look at verse 11. And David said unto him, fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat table continually. Verse 8, and he bowed himself and said, what is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am? Verse 11, let's skip down to it. So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he did eat continually at the king's table and was lame on both his feet. Oh, I love that scripture. He did eat continually at the king's table and was lame on both his feet. He ate at the king's table but still was lame on both his feet. Here's number 4. Don't allow your deficiencies to deny your greatness. Don't allow your deficiencies to deny your greatness. Mephibosheth leaves Lodabar, but there was a major issue. He had been in Lodabar so long until he couldn't believe that God should be on his life. Have you ever felt so dirty spiritually that you believed God should use you? Have you ever been so jacked up in your life that you didn't think God should bless you? Have you ever been or felt to the point where you were unworthy that God would even empower you? That's how Mephibosheth felt. His issue was that he forgot who he was, and he needed someone to remind him of it. I'm here to tell you today, like David told Mephibosheth, that there is a king living in you, and you need to come back to the palace. You've been living like a peasant too long, and it's time for you to live like the King of Kings want you to live. Mephibosheth called himself a dog. You know you're in bad shape when people don't have to talk about you because you're doing such a great job of dogging yourself out. I don't care how bad life has been for me, I still know who I am. I don't care how rough the season has been for me, I still know who I am. Listen, people of God, never forget who you are. David had to remind him of who his daddy was. The devil wants to forget who your daddy is. Your daddy in heaven has never been for child support or neglect. He's still God who holds the world in his hands. He's still God who performs miracles. He's still God who turns bad seasons around. He's still God who lifts burdens. He's still the same God who destroys yoke. And if that's how my daddy rolls, then I'm rolling like my daddy. When there's a king living inside of you, never become comfortable outside the palace. The devil wants to steal, kill, and destroy what's inside of you. He's trying to get you to stop because he knows if you press on just one more day, you'll see your breakthrough. If you can just push past your pain one more week, then your life will change. If you can just apply one more time, even though they did not deny you the last 5 times, then you'll still get that job, yeah? And you'll get that home and a car. The key is removing stopping as an option. So as bad as life gets sometimes, I can't stop serving God. Hallelujah. As much as I don't feel like it sometimes, I can't stop praising God. I can't stop loving him. I can't stop walking by faith. I can't stop loving my haters. I can't stop blessing those who curse me. I can't stop forgiving those who hurt me. I won't stop lifting my hands. I won't won't stop shouting with the voice of triumph. I don't care if I get on your nerves. I won't stop leaping for joy because you haven't been through what I've been through. So that's why I understand why you're just sitting there. You've not had to endure the heartache and the pain I've felt. You've not dealt with the complex trauma of my life. But despite all of that I've been through, I still will not stop. You can't stop me from believing God. You can't stop me from going to church. You can't stop me from moving on with my life. Listen, you can stay stuck if you want, but I'm moving forward. You can live in Lodabar if you want to, but I'm going on to the palace. Stopping is not an option. Giving up is not an option. Fainting is not an option. Abandoning my assignment is not an option. Losing my passion for the kingdom is not an option. I will not stop. I wish somebody could get that in your spirit today, that for the rest of this day, as the enemy tries to bring resistance against you and tries to frustrate you, make sure you remember that word. I'm not going to stop, because stopping is not an option for my life. God bless you. I pray that this word in some kind of way touched you, inspired you, and increased the faith of God in your life. We love you. Be blessed.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. Oh, stopping is not an option. Oh, my God. That spoke volume this morning. Praise God. Hallelujah. I know somebody over there is experiencing a breakthrough, and I'm telling you, I know it started with me. Thank you. Thank you so much, Pastor Chuck, for blessing us and letting us know that stopping is not an option. Sister Ada, are you out there this morning? Can you go ahead and come and cover our prayer request at this time, and then we'll have Pastor Chuck come back on to give us our benediction.
Good morning, Hallelujah. Tiffany. Can you hear me?
I can. Go ahead, my sister.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have a lot of prayer requests. Shall we go before the throne this morning? Dear Heavenly Father, our Abba Father, the one that we call on, Father God, in our time of need, we want to lift up these special prayer requests. Father God, we ask in the name of Jesus that you would be with James Brewer, Lord, who is battling cancer. We ask, Father God, for healing, restoration of health. We ask that you continue to remember Dr. P.K. Roberts and her family in this time of bereavement. Continue to give them wisdom. Send ministers and people of God who can not only minister in spiritual ways, but in tangible ways. Lord, let them reach out to this family. Lord, we also want to continue to lift up Deacon Mildred, Rosalind Hayes, and Garrett Hayes. We ask for comfort, all of these folks that are dealing with the loss of a loved one, or as that loved one has made his transition. Lord, we want to lift up Jackie Boston. We want to lift up her health, and that you would regulate the organs as it relates to her kidneys, Lord. Give her wisdom as it relates to her diet and nutritional products. We want to lift up Jackie Smith, who's on dialysis awaiting a kidney. Lord, we know that there is nothing too hard for you, and we ask that you give her favor and that you restore her health. Lord, you're still in the healing business. We want to lift up Eddie's widow and daughter and family. This young man made his transition at the tender age of 35 years old. Lord, we ask that you comfort them, Lord, that we ask that you heal them and let them know that you said that you will never leave them nor forsake them. Lord, we want to lift up Brother Lawrence to you, asking that you will restore him and touch him as he is going through an illness. We ask that you would also be with his daughter, Danielle. Lord God, we lift up Lifty Stores, and we ask that you, we first praise you and thank you that you've given her favor with the insurance company, but we're also asking and believing you to heal her, Lord God, as it relates to her diagnosis of MS. Lord, we want to lift up Sarah Stores as it relates to healing, Father God, touch and restore and send people of God to continue to minister to them. We want to lift up Christine Antonio, and we ask that you would comfort them during this time of their bereavement. We want to lift up a young man, Zenobian, who's a student who's having surgery and will have to miss school, so we ask that you would send folks to bring him his homework during his time of recovery. And we just ask that you would touch right now. Also, Father God, we want to lift up Nyla Franklin. These are requests from Sarah High School. So these are all young people, Father God. We ask that you would be with the grandmother and the entire family, Lord God. We want to lift up Joe Skelly for healing of cancer. We want to lift up Rochelle Alexander and the mother. We want to lift up Loie the grandfather who recently passed. We ask for comfort for this family during this time of bereavement. We also want to lift up Anwar, the 17 young man who is really in desperate need of intervention, and that you would allow him to surrender his heart and soul to you. And Father God, before he makes that step, Lord, we ask that you protect him. We protect him from the enemy in Jesus' name, Lord. We also want to lift up John Hughes, who's dealing with prostate cancer. We know, Father God, that you are the healer, that you are the great physician. So we ask that you would be with him during this time. We also want to lift up Sister Christy, who is expecting twins. Lord, we ask that you would regulate her body, her organs, her system. And we also want to lift up her husband, Chad, who does not know you, for the pardon of his sins. So we pray during this time, Lord, that you would send people in his life who can share the gospel of Jesus Christ, who can pray with him, who can encourage him. And, Lord, we pray for those babies. Oh, we know that you are the giver of life, and we're calling them the miracle babies. So we ask that you would be with that family. Also, Lord, continuing in prayer, we ask that you would touch Tiffany Whiston and family, that there was recently a murder of a friend, Lord. We ask in the name of Jesus that you would allow your angels, Father God, of comfort to be with this family as they try to make sense of a senseless murder. Oh, Father God, have mercy. We also want to continue to lift up in prayer Onita Stevenson, who soon to be fiance's daughter, was shot at a house party. We ask for healing. And we ask, Father God, in the name of Jesus, we come against these senseless acts of violence. May the people of God continue to know that they should not operate in fear, but in power, love, and a sound mind. And, Father God, we also want to lift up Dr. Sylvester S. Beeman for safe travels for an upcoming conference in Arizona. We also want to lift up the Bethel AME conference as they prepare for that. Lord, continuing in prayer, we want to continue to remember all of those who have been impacted or infected by Superstorm Sandy. Let this be a time of revival, Father God. Let them know that you have forgot about them and that this is a time for them to turn to you, not away from you, but to turn to you, that you may heal them. And even though they may have lost a lot of material possessions, Lord, they still have their life. And Father God, we just pray that you continue to send ministers, people of men and women of God who can be of comfort and of encouragement and who can share the gospel of Jesus Christ. We continue to lift up Minister Robbins dead in the town of Union Beach, all of those that were infected by Sandy and Superstorm Sandy. And Father God, we want to also continue to remember Evangelist Gwen Beatty. We ask that you continue to heal her, touch her, encourage her, and thank you for all the love and support that people that have gone to fillabottlesavealife.com. And we just thank you, Lord. We can't thank you enough. And these are the prayer requests that have been submitted to the TMC. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Back to you, Minister Tiffany, I'm sorry.
Thank you, Ada, for filling our prayer request and covering our prayer request for the TMC call. Thank you to Willa for opening this up in call, and thank you to each of you who are still on the line. Remember to join us on the morning motivational call immediately following this call with Platinum President Dr. Dorothy Cook. That number is 530-881-1300, and the PIN code is 539-598-POUND. Once again, 530-881-1300. 5395-98-POUND. And if you missed any part of this TMC call, then the callback number is 712-432-1085 and the same PIN code that you used to dial in this morning. Remember, stopping is not an option. Pastor Chuck, will you come and give us our benediction, and then we will go out and know that we cannot be stopped this day.
Amen. As always, I do appreciate all of the comments and feedback that you send to me. It's humbling. You can follow me at Pastor Chuck 2 on Twitter and Facebook, Pastor Chuck. Yeah, Pastor Chuck at Facebook.com. All right. Father, we thank you for all that we received on today and all of the requests that were lifted up to you. Our faith is in agreement with all of theirs. Oh, God, I ask that you allow this day to be the greatest day that we've ever experienced in my lives, and that the rest of this year will be wonderful. We thank you, O God, for prospering us and favoring us and giving us not just what we need, but even what we desire as we delight ourselves in you. We give you glory for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you.